Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Walking in the Light Ministry. Hi, my name is Pastor Herbert Graham, and I am glad that you are with us on this evening. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Today, my brothers and my sisters, we're going to be talking about a topic that I think that would be a blessing to you and to all to whom that you will share it with. The title of this topic is called Christian Duty in a Hostile World. What is a Christian's duty in this hostile world that we live in. You know, living in this world can bring about a lot of different challenges. You know, all sorts of distractions will come our way. And we have to be ready at all times for the distractions that come our way. But in order to be ready, you must be equipped with the right type of weaponry in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, as a child of God, we must always be constantly watching and looking for the attacks of the enemy. Why? Because he will come. He will come, my brother and my sister. And when he comes, we must be able to acknowledge him. And as we are able to acknowledge him, we will then be able to fight against the wiles of the enemy with the word of God. So tonight, we're going to be talking in this Bible study about a brief lesson here about Christian duty in a hostile world. Remember, we got an enemy that does not play fair. And when he comes at you and I, he comes at us in an evil way, not in a righteous way, but in an evil way. If you would, I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles, and we're going to be looking in the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, it's in the New Testament, and it's right after the book of James. 1 Peter, and we're going to be looking and reading from the 4th chapter. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading at the 7th verse. 1 Peter chapter 4. But before we begin to read, we're going to just say a brief word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come before thee to give you all glory, to give you all honor, and to give you all praise, knowing that it is you who have made us and not we ourselves. And Lord, we lift you up in this hour, asking you to open up our eyes that we may see into your word, give us ears that we may hear into your word, and give us a heart to receive your word. Oh Lord, we want to thank you for what you have already done, and for what you're doing right now, and for what that you're going to do. Holy Spirit of the living God, we ask you to have your way in us. Give us understanding as only you can give it to us. And right now, Father, we want to thank you for all authority and a power that you have given us in the name of Jesus Christ. And right now, we serve notice to Satan and his demons, that Satan, the Lord, rebukes you and your demons. Every evil deed, every evil work, every evil assignment, we bind it up now and we cast it away from the people of God in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. And right now, Father, we thank you for hearing this prayer. And we believe we receive now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at the 7th verse. Peter writes, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen to the word of God. My brothers and my sisters, we're going to be sharing a Christian's duty in a hostile world. You know, a Christian duty is to abide by the teachings of our Master, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to this earth, he said, I only do the things I see the Father do. And he was telling his disciples, along with the followers of Christ in that day, that whatever he sees the Father do, he does. He was showing them the heart of the Father and how the Father will react in a certain situation and how he is going to act in a certain situation. And not so much as how the Father and the Son react to a certain situation, but he was teaching them how to act in those situations. Living in a world today, it seems like nobody wants to let no one know that they are a Christian. When we're living in a world where there's so much going on, so much distractions all around us, so much untrue lying and deceitfulness are being played out all around us, that some of us can't even discern what is truth anymore. So therefore, we have allowed our guards to be let down. Some of us was going to places of worship only to find out that we were being seen by the ones we had faith in. And the Bible clearly tells us that we should trust no man, but we should trust the true and living God. A Christian duty in this hostile world should be one that is walking and applying the word of God to their lives to the best of their ability. And that should be a person that's constantly searching out the scriptures, constantly praying, constantly seeking answers from the Holy Spirit on an everyday basis. But yet, like I said earlier, my brothers and my sisters, there are some that are not doing these things. There are some that have gotten totally away from these things. So tonight, we're going to look at a few things that I think that will be a help to the body of Christ to not only examine in this Bible study, but to keep written in your heart and on your mind to allow your lives to be guided by these principles of the Word of God, that the light may shine in you and you may be light in this world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And men will look at you and see truly should they follow God. Some men will not even go to church, but they will look at your life as the Bible. Your life as portraying who God really is and living as a Christian in this life, in this world that you and I live in, we must live in such a way that we do not demonstrate to people our flesh. Hear me, my beloved brothers and sisters. But we must demonstrate to the people what the word of God say. When we say we are following Jesus and his word. One of the things that we must always be on guard about is being ashamed of God. That's right, my beloved brothers and sisters. I'm going to say it again. Being ashamed of God. You know, beloved brothers and sisters, there are a lot of people today calling themselves a Christians that are ashamed of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet there are a lot of Christians today who are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, for it is the power of God. You see, you or I cannot be ashamed of God. I don't care what the world may say and how the world may make fun of who we are. We should never be ashamed of God. Jesus said over there in Luke, the 12th chapter, he said, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. It means that whatever you speak concerning the word of God, it shall not be spoken in darkness, but it shall be spoken and heard of in the light. It shall be truth. Why? Because it's not your truth, it's not my truth, but it is God's truth that we speak. See? And as we speak truth to a dying world that's living in darkness, as we speak truth, there should be some light shining in that situation. There should be some light shining in the area of that person's life that we are speaking to. See? But we proclaim this upon the housetops, means that we proclaim this for the world to hear this gospel that saved you, that saved me. This gospel that we allow to be that light that sitteth upon the hill and allow people to see that light. Remember, and I may say this more than once in this message, you may be the only Bible that a sinner reads. You may be the only way that somebody understand who God is, because God may be using you and working through you to reveal to them who he is. So we cannot be ashamed of God. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 23, he that is not with me is against me. See, we got to go all the way with God. We got to go all the way with God. See, if they laughing at God, let them laugh at God. If they're making a mockery out of him, let them make a mockery out of him, because God sees it all. He says, and I'm going to read it again in Luke 12. He says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be made known. See? God sees all. God knows all. And the fact that God knows all, the fact that God sees all, trust me, God knows how to deal with the rebellious of this world. He knows how to deal with them. So sometimes we have to suffer for Christ's sake. 1 Peter 4 and 16 says, Yet if any man suffered as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. When we are suffering for the truth, we should be giving God the glory. We should be praising God. We should be honoring God. See? We should not be looking at the world and thinking the world knows the way which is right. But we should be looking unto God because his word is right. And then Jesus said in Luke 12, he said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. See, the Holy Ghost is truth. And the Holy Ghost only comes to reveal truth unto us, that we may reveal it to that one who don't know the Holy Ghost. And therefore, you and I walk in that way. Therefore, you and I talk in that way, and the way that the Bible teaches us. See? And we should be ones that's always is not ashamed of God and always ready to give an answer why we believe what we believe, and to demonstrate sometimes it takes us not even saying a word, but it's our actions, how we act in a certain situation that gives God the glory. Don't never be ashamed to talk about God or the word of God. Don't never be embarrassed to talk about the Bible. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. They were corrupt. You see? They profess that they know God, but their lifestyle and their actions and even in their conversation didn't line up with the word of God. It didn't line up with the things of God. And as many today, my beloved brothers and sisters, many today are saying they know God, but when you look at their conversations, when you look at their actions, it doesn't line up with the word of God. And if you've been a Christian for any period of time, there are some things in your life should line up where someone who don't know God can look at your life and notice there's something different about you. Notice that the way you act, they don't act like that. And the way you acting is more positive than the way they're acting. See, people watches you all the time, whether you know it or not. People are watching you. Some may be in your own household. Some may be in your own immediate family, your nephews, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, etc. Your brothers, your sisters. Your co-worker, your church members. People are watching you. And your lifestyle and your actions should always be demonstrating how we should act according to the word of God. One of the things that I believe that a lot of us have issues with, and we're talking today about Christian duty in a hostile world. And one of the things I believe that we have problem with is We have a problem with grudges.
Oh, yes, my brothers and sisters. Grudges. We hold grudges sometimes one Christian to another Christian. We hold grudges in our heart with our neighbor, some we know and some we don't even know. You know, you can watch a person on television and hold a grudge against them and don't even realize you're holding a grudge against them. But God don't want you or me to hold grudges with anybody because God will judge that. See, it is sad but true. Many people hold grudges without a reason. Sometimes it's over someone else's wealth. They hold a grudge. Someone else's success. They hold a grudge, or their education. Sometimes it could just be a case of prejudice or revenge or jealousy. Holding a grudge is a sin which must be repented of. I like what Proverbs say over there in Proverbs 24, it says, be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. See, a lot of us hold grudges against our neighbor. A lot of us hold evil causes against our neighbor. Yes, some is even in our own family. We hold grudges of jealousy. We hold grudges of prejudice. We hold grudges of their success in our heart. And we don't even sometimes want to be around that person or that group. And sometimes we hold these grudges and say, you know, I just don't want to have nothing to do with them. But why don't you want to have anything to do with them? When someone is trying to reach out to you and try to communicate with you and you shut down and not show the love of God, that's not how a Christian should be acting in this world. When someone do you all kind of ways, you shouldn't build up a wall to where you cannot show them love in spite of themselves. What is Jesus, when he came to this earth, were to build up walls against all the people that treated him wrong when he walked this earth? What if he would have had that evil in his heart? He wouldn't have showed them the true love of God. But he showed them the true love of God. You see? And that's what we have to be careful of. In 1 Peter 4:9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging or murmuring. Without grudging, we should be using hospitality to one another. In other words, we should be showing love to one another. Not only showing love to the ones that we think we ought to love and the ones we think we ought to hate, we just don't have nothing to do with them, or we disassociate ourselves with them. Or be something like, oh, well, they haven't called me in a long time, so I'm not going to pick up the phone and call them. See, you're holding a grudge in your heart that is not pleasing in the eyes of God. When we hold a grudge against one another, we are actually obeying Satan.
Oh, my. We are actually obeying Satan. See, God commands us to love one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 27 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See, you and I should be walking in a way of love and not being irritated by our brothers or our sisters. We should be walking in such a way that we give and we show love in spite of that person and how the way they treat us. We're talking about Christian duty in a hostile world. See, when a Christian holds a grudge, it grieves the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. See? When we let no corrupt communication come up out of mouth, but when we allow that which is good for the use of edifying, when we're lifting our brothers and our sisters up, when we're giving them compliments in spite of them. Yes, I know sometimes that may be hard to do for some of you, but that is your Christian duty in this hostile world. See, what I'm trying to show you is that you cannot allow any of these negative seeds to start growing in the soil of your heart. Because if you allow these seeds to be planted in your heart, my beloved and brothers and sisters, this seed is going to grow into something and it's going to bear fruit that is not pleasing in the eyes of God. And that's what we have to be careful about. You see, we always have to be careful about that. One thing about a Christian should never give money, time, or talent to God if he does it grudgingly. I'm going to say that again. A Christian should never give money, talent, time to God if he does it grudgingly. God's blessing only goes to liberal-hearted felt givers. The Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposed in his heart. So let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You hear that, beloved brothers and sisters? When you give your time, your talent, or your money to the things of God, you do it in a loving, in a joyful way. You don't do it grudgingly, because he who is watching, who is the Lord our God, already knows your heart and in the state of mind that you are in when you give. See? So grudges is something that a Christian should not be carrying or even acting upon. So don't let grudges
get into your life. Don't allow your life to be consumed by hatred one for another. And speaking of hatred, that is the next thing that a Christian should not be carrying in his heart. Christian duties in a hostile world. See? A Christian shouldn't be carrying this in his heart. Jesus said that in the last days before he returned to earth, that love among people would turn to hate. And this is the scripture that he says it. He says over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning at the 9th through the 12th verse, he says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, which is sin, shall abound, out of the love of many shall wax. Matthew 24, verses 9 through 12. You and I cannot allow hatred to be in our heart. See, all hatred is sin, except, hear me, beloved, hatred for sin. I'm going to say that again. All hatred, all types of hatred is sin, except hatred for sin. Hatred is a work of the flesh. Anyone who hates another person will not inherit the kingdom of God unless he or she repents and gets saved. See, you can't walk around with hatred in your heart and think you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. It will not work. In the book of Galatians, it tells us, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. You hear that, my beloved brothers and sisters? There's that word, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seductions, envy, murder, drunkenness, heresies, reviling, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. See, hatred should not be in your heart. Now, the world gonna demonstrate hatred. Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. John 15 and 18. And then he said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. He said, don't get focused on that in 1 John 3:13. He said, don't get focused on that if the world hates you. The world going to hate you because you love Jesus. The world is going to hate you. The world ain't going to want to have nothing to do with you because you love Jesus. The Bible says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving devourers, lust, and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. See, that's how the world acts, beloved. The world hates one another. You and I, as a child of God, should be loving one another and loving the ones who even hate us. See? We should not allow their hatred to enter into our heart, but we should love them. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appear, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Have you done any righteousness? No, we only righteous in Christ Jesus. See, our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in the eyesight of God. But when we accept what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary's cross, how he came and died for your sins and my sins, and on the third day, God the Father raised him from the dead, when we have faith in what Jesus did, now we become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. See, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Oh, beloved, do you hear that? According to God's mercy, he saved you. He saved me. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Oh, beloved, God has shed the Holy Ghost upon you, and abundantly he shed him upon you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. See, that's why we can't allow hatred to be in our heart. Because if you allow hatred to be in your heart, beloved, you know that the Bible calls you, beloved, a murderer? Oh, yes. A murderer. Because you got hatred in your heart. Listen to this, beloved. Listen to this. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer have eternal life abide in him. 1 John 3:15. Oh, read your Bible, beloved. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. It's all right there. Read your Bible. I'm going to read that again. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer have eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3:15. Oh, my beloved, my beloved, my beloved. You got to guard that heart because Satan don't play fair. Satan will throw them negative seeds at you and get those seeds to grow in your heart. And you hating people that God told you to love. The Bible says that there are seven things that God hates. Says these six things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. God hates those things. And we, as a Christian, should not allow these things to grow in our heart. The Bible also tells us the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's what we should be hating on, the evil, the sin. We should be hating that as a Christian. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate, the Lord says in Proverbs 8 and verse 13. You see? Hatred can never grow in our heart. Being a Christian and our duty in this hostile world is that you and I should be guarding our heart. We have to be careful because sometimes we can get anger, and anger may lead us to hatred. The Bible says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hatred. Proverbs 14 and 17. It says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He, which is talking about God, preserveth the soul of his saints. He, which is talking about God, delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Psalms 97 and 10. See, God will preserve you when he don't see no hatred in your heart. God will protect you and deliver you out of that evil person, out of that trickery from the devil. God will deliver you from that. You see? That's why we have to be careful. Did you ever love another person when all they gave you in return was hatred? You know, we are commanded to love our enemies with continual prayer and love. We may be able to lead a person to Christ. I like what David said over there in Psalms 109 and verse 5. David said, and they rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. See, David was showing them love, and they were showing David hatred and evil ways. My Lord, do you have anybody in your life when you try to show them love, all they show you is nothing but evil? You keep on loving them, my brothers and sisters, because God sees your heart. And God sees that person who is rejecting you. He sees them who is rejecting you. Your love, see? They don't realize that love that you are demonstrating is not your love genuinely, but that is the genuine love of God that flows in you and through you to them. So really, they're not rejecting you, beloved. They're rejecting the God that's in you. And when they reject the God that's in you, they're rejecting God Almighty. Glory be to God. And a lot of them don't even realize what they're doing. That's why you keep showing love, beloved. Keep showing them love. And being a Christian, we all, another thing we have to remember and not be is being in a state of idleness. We have to be careful with being in a state of idleness. You know, Jesus told them over there in Luke, he was giving them a parable of the a certain nobleman over there. And as he spoke in Luke chapter 19 and verse 13, Jesus told them, and he said, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. See, he was giving them a parable of this noble, this certain nobleman that had a kingdom. He was telling them about himself, what he was doing. And he gave these servants certain gifts. And he told them to occupy until I come. Jesus has given you a gift today. And he wants you to occupy in that gift until he come back. He don't want you to be idling or in idleness. You know, we used to say and still do say that which says idleness is the devil's workshop. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. See? When you walk around and don't have nothing to do or have your mind on the things of the Lord, you will become idle. See? Because when you're idle, idleness will lead you in many different directions. An idle person usually resorts to idle chatter instead of finding something constructive to do with his hands and his mind. He's just not doing anything. The Bible says God hates idle chatter. It says, Paul told Timothy, said, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. 2 Timothy 2:16. He told Timothy to shun away from this. Don't allow your mind to go there, because if you idle and you begin to chatter with somebody and they're idle, you're going to muster up a conversation that's not going to be godliness. It's going to lead you to ungodliness, because now you're going to go into the realm of gossiping and fault finding. And that's something that you and I should never be doing. You see? We should never be fault-finding or gossiping. See? Especially to tear someone down. But Satan will use any method of trickery he can to try to win the battle. You have an enemy that don't play fair. You can be on the battlefield fighting against the enemy. And he may see you lying there helpless with no gun, no ammunition, nothing. And you know, he has still come and pull the clip on a hand grenade and drop it on top of you, knowing you're helpless and can't do anything. And that's what the enemy Satan would do. He will pull that clip out of the hand grenade and drop it on top of you. That's how he's doing a lot of people today who he has already defeated. See, the person is lying there helpless and defeated, and the enemy still wants to take him out, because your enemy, the devil, don't play fair. And he'll try anything he can to get you to walk against the ways and the things of God. He has tried to come at you in such a way that he gets you speaking negative things and not wholesome things. And we have to be careful, my brothers and my sisters. We're talking today about a Christian duty in a hostile world. What is a Christian duty? How do a Christian supposed to act? How does a Christian supposed to walk? A Christian should always be walking in the ways of the Bible. If he or she truly is born again. See? When I see hatred try to enter in my heart, I got to cast that thing out. I got to repent and allow love to flow in towards my brother or my sister. If I find myself talking negative about someone, I got to stop and repent and speak love and blessings on that person. Not evilness and hatred and condemnation on them, but I got to flow in the love of God. how we should flow. And another big reason, my brothers and sisters, we have to look out for is that we must watch ourselves that we're not judging one another. See, we're quick to do that. See, the Bible says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law, talking about the law of God, and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You made yourself a judge, beloved? There is one lawgiver, who is God, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another one? James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 tells us. James said, there's only one that's able to judge. And he is the one that should be judging all of us. Instead of judging our brother and our sisters, we ought to be praying for them. James tells us, and this is James, the brother of Jesus, who ate and slept with Jesus and who knew the love of God because he saw the love of God demonstrated and lived and spoken through the mouth of Jesus right in front of his eyes. James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 5, verse 16. You see? See, we can't judge one another, but we should be loving one another. We should be even loving our enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. Are you doing that today, beloved? Are you loving your enemies? Are you doing good to them that hate you? Are you blessing them that curse you? Are you praying for them that despitefully use you? Are you doing these things? See, this was told, beloved, way back in the Old Testament. In the book of Leviticus, God said, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 50. God showed them how they should act. God is showing us how we should act. See, it is God judges the righteous. The Bible says God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalms chapter 7, verse 11. And then I like what Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. He said, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart. You hear that, beloved? And then shall every man have praise of God. Paul is saying, judge nothing before his time until the Lord comes, and who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness. See, everything in the dark got to come to the light, because when the light comes, all the darkness be revealed. See, it says, and he will make it manifest, the counsel of the heart, the condition of your heart, the condition of my heart. See, if you read the gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and when Jesus had an encounter with the people of that day, whether man, woman, boy, or girl, especially men and the women, Jesus will always reveal to them what was in their heart. Why? Because he was the light of the world. In their hearts was dark things. And Jesus would tell them what was in their hearts, that even some of them used to deny what was in their hearts and didn't even realize what was in their hearts. Satan has slipped in there and planted these seeds of darkness in their heart, and they didn't even know that this was growing in their heart until Jesus came, the light of the world came, and revealed it unto them. You see, beloved, the light has to reveal the darkness in a man's heart. Let Jesus reveal the darkness in your heart. And if there is no darkness in your heart, give God the glory. Remember Nathanael in the Bible? Jesus said, here is a man with no guile in him. Nathanael was a sinner. Now, don't get me wrong. But Nathanael walked in a special love. And he didn't even know Jesus at the time. But he knew what the word of God said through the books of Moses. And Nathanael lived his life as probably his parents had taught him and brought him up. And Nathanael lived his life in that way. That's why Jesus said, there is a man with no guile in him. But he still needed a Savior. See, Jesus know all our hearts, even the ones who call themselves goody two-shoes. Jesus knows their heart. Jesus told us, saying, we judge not, that ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Luke 6:37. See? We have to be mindful of that. See? It is God that is the only one that can judge. For the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking about the Christians here. The sinners who have never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're going to appear before the great white throne and be judged why they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, as the book of Revelation tells us in Revelation 19. In chapter 20 also. You see? It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. I'm going to read that again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his or her body, and your own personal body. You're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. According to that, he or she hath done, whether it be good or bad. Everything you and I do, we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us. Because, see, only God can judge. See, the Bible says, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another one. Psalms chapter 75 and verse 7 tells us. To judge another person is ungodly and inexcusable. The Bible says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever that art that judges. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. You hear that, beloved? When you judge someone else, you are already condemning yourself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. See? You judging a person, and you already condemning yourself, because the Bible says if you judging them of that situation, you're doing the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 tells us. You think you're going to escape the judgment of God if you judge, going around judging people? See? We have to be careful with how we judge one another. See? We're talking about Christian duties in a hostile world. See? And we have to be careful because the enemy will use these things against you and against me. And we have to always be on guard against these things. Because he would try to plant those seeds in you, and he would try to plant those seeds in me for these things to grow. And it shall not be. It shall not be. And beloved, the last thing I would like to share with you about Christian duty in a hostile world is that we have to have do not walk around with unforgiveness in our heart. The Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. We got to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. You see? And then Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Didn't Jesus Christ forgive you of your sins? Didn't Jesus Christ forgive you of your hang-ups? Didn't Jesus Christ forgive you of your shortcomings? Well, why are you holding unforgiveness and grudges in your heart against another? You want Jesus Christ to forgive you, but you don't want to forgive your brother or your sister. You see? Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, they was asking Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven times. Jesus said, not only seven times, but 70 times seven in one day. You see? Jesus said, if ye forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. He says, and even when we pray, he said, when we stand praying, forgive. See? There's something about when we're praying, God will bring someone on our heart. And then we find ourselves done detour off of what we was praying about, and now we are thinking and focusing on that person that just appeared in our mind and in our heart. And that person may have done something wrong to us, and we have not forgiven them. And it will just appear in our heart in the middle of our prayer. Jesus was saying, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which in heaven may forgive. you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespass. We got to forgive. See? Talking about the Christian duty in a hostile world. I like what David said over there in Psalms, the 103rd Psalm, the second through the fourth verse. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy." Look what God has done for you, my beloved. Look what God has done for me, beloved. God has forgiven us of all our iniquities. God has healed us of all our diseases. God has redeemed our life from destruction. And he crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Oh, that's a lot right there, beloved, to praise him for. See? That's a lot to glorify the Lord for. That's a lot to give him the praise due unto his name. Everything we need was in that verse. Those few verses I just read to you, beloved. He forgive you of all your iniquities. He healeth you of all your diseases. He redeemed your life from destruction. And then he crowneth you with loving kindness and tender mercy. This is what the Father has done for you through his Son, Jesus Christ, beloved. Now, who are we to walk around with the things that we talked about tonight? Being ashamed of God, carrying grudges, having hatred in our heart, having a state of idleness, judging one another, and not forgiving one another. Walking around with unforgiveness in our heart. If God has done all these things that David talked about in Psalms 103 verses 2 through 4, if God has done this, how can I walk around and have these things in my heart? Allow Satan to plant these things in my heart. See? Oh, I should be praising God. And some of us right now need to repent. Some of us need to repent to God right now. The Bible says this, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 tells us. God is yet still giving us an opportunity to get it right with him. Think about this, beloved. And in my closing, I want you to think about this. A Christian is not one who is seeking God's forgiveness. He is one, or she is one, who has found it. Did you hear that, beloved? A Christian is not one that's seeking God's forgiveness, but he or she is one who has found God's forgiveness. You're walking in the forgiveness of God. You're walking in the grace of God. You're walking in the mercies of God. You're walking in the love of God. You're walking in the peace of God. You're walking in the joy of God.
And this is what you and I, as a Christian, our duty in this hostile world should be demonstrating in the people who are near to us in our circle and the people who are outside our circle, and the people who are in our families and in the people who are in the world. We should be acting like them who are demonstrating to us the world way of these things that we just covered on this evening, being ashamed of God, walking in grudges, walking in hatred, walking in idleness, walking in judging one another, walking in unforgiveness. We should not be acting like them, but we should be demonstrating the love and the joy and the peace and the happiness and the grace and the mercy of God, as God has freely given it up to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We too should be sharing it with this world. Remember, for some out there, you're going to be the only Bible they ever read. So today, do like 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and go over there and read that verse, beloved. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. You who are Christians, go read that verse. And if you need to repent, repent unto God. And actually, he said he will come. If you repent and turn from your wicked ways and seek his face, he will come and heal your land. You know, I'm going to say this to you, beloved. For some of us, that's holding up our blessing because we haven't repented. For some of us, our blessing could be a healing. Our blessing could be a financial miracle. Our blessing could be held up because we have not repented. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Go read that verse, beloved. You who are born again, you who are a child of God, been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Read that verse. And for those of you who are listening on this evening, or whatever time you may be listening to this message, morning, noon, night, or day, if you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sin, you can get to know him. The Bible says over there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then verse 10 says, for it is with your heart that you believe it and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. See, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. And beloved, today, if you want to know Jesus and the pardons of your sins, you can get to know him. All you have to do is just repeat this simple prayer with me. Say, Father, I come to you now, asking you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you sent Jesus Christ to this earth to die on a cross for my sin. And on the third day, you raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe right now by faith, I receive it. I believe it in my heart and I confess it with my mouth that he came and died for me. And you raised him from the dead. And Father, I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you right now to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Wash me clean and make me white as snow in Jesus Christ. And I receive it now, and I thank you now, Father, In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Oh, my beloved, if you pray that with me today, beloved, the Bible says over in Luke that the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner that repents. But, beloved, listen to me closely. Don't just say it with your mouth, but believe it in your heart. Believe it. Act upon it. If you don't have a Bible, go purchase you a Bible from the Bible bookstore. And ask the Holy Spirit to teach you the Word of God. Or to lead you to a church that's teaching the truth of the Word of God. And you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And let Him lead you and guide you into all truth. And beloved, you give God the glory, the honor, and all praise. Now and forevermore. And Father God, today we want to thank you for all that you have done. We want to thank you for how you blessed this lesson. And Father God, we pray that all who have heard this lesson will give glory and honor and praise unto you. And we thank you now and forevermore. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Beloved, today I pray God's richest blessings be yours. Go in peace. And until we meet here again on next Saturday at 7 p.m., may God's richest blessings be yours.